Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. When we get our new building, our platform's actually going to have enough room to get around on. We might fill it up. We might. But it's going to be about 40 foot long, and it's going to go out about as far as the front legs on the second row of chairs back. It'll be that deep. The baptismal is going to be in the floor back here. It'll hold 60 people. And the in the baptistry, yeah, it's like a community swimming pool. It's going to be nice. Little diving board, you can jump off the pulpit. Actually, you can jump off the rock because there's going to be a big rock. Hey, we can dream. Yeah, come here. Or you want me to come to you? I'll come to you. Stay right there. Stay right there. We'll come to you. I seen you laying over there on the floor, and I was going, what in the world? Do you need to go home? All right. Well, here, you can have that back.
I'm not going to let pain keep me out of God's house.
That a boy. Well, get ready because the Lord's going to grab you by the top of the head and the bottom of your feet and jerk you straight. How about that? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for my brother. And God, I pray right now, God, that you would straighten out this spine, Lord, that every pinched nerve would be released in the name of Jesus. Every inflamed disc, and that God, that you would hydrate them and allow them to function correctly, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would straighten it all out. Lord, that you would relieve this pain. All the stress, all the tension, all the spasms be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I thank you for it. We've done what you've said to do. He called for the church. We anointed with oil. We lay hands on him. We pray the prayer of faith. Now, God, we trust that you're going to heal him right now in the name of Jesus. Back, be healed. Line up. Line up right now in the name of Jesus. And for that, we thank you and give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We always got time for prayer. Always got time for the laying on of hands and praying the prayer of faith. We're talking about prayer on Sunday nights. Our Sunday nights have been dedicated to prayer and how to pray effectively. Part of that is what some of us are doing. We're fasting and praying. And fasting it's downshifting when you're climbing a hill. I don't know, however you want to look at it. But when we link prayer and fasting together, it does something in the spiritual realm that is phenomenal. And I want you to know that we're to pray with all prayer. There's several different kinds of prayer. There's prayer and there's supplication, there's intercession, and then there's thanksgiving. And so the believer who prays only to ask for things is missing out on the blessings that come with intercession and interceding before God. I think it's important that we've got these old-fashioned altar benches in this church now. I'm telling you that we have a point of contact. Yes, we've been coming to the altar and we've been kneeling here and we've been praying. But can I just tell you, when you can physically come up here and lay your problems, lay your burdens, lay those things on this altar and turn around and walk off. When you can bow at this altar and kneel at the altar and I mean, get a hold of that thing and just begin to cry out to God. And intercede before the Lord. That's when things begin to change. It's more than just, you know, a little dab will do you. A little dab won't do you most often. We've got to get on our face and we got to begin to pray. And so, the fact is that thanksgiving and the giving of thanks, is a great prayer weapon for defeating the enemy. When you begin to just thank God for things, maybe you're just thanking God for things that you haven't even received yet, but you've prayed about it and you're believing that it's coming, and you just begin to thank God that it's already on the way. And you just begin to rejoice, and that just drives the devil nuts. Amen. And that's our job, I think, is to drive him nuts. How about this? Prayer or praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. This worship that we do here at the beginning of our services, it's so much more than just getting everybody settled in. It's so much more than just creating an environment where everybody kind of feels warm and fuzzy. It's more than just an environment for the planting of the seed, like I said this morning, of the Word of God. Praise changes things. When you begin to intercede and when you begin to sing and your heart just begins to overflow with the things of God, it touches heaven, church. And so praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. Interceding for others can bring victory to your life as well as their life. And then we have praying in the Spirit. And when the biblical formula is that we pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. Here's Romans' version of it, chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How awesome is it tonight for us to know that the Holy Spirit of God is interceding for you and I? I mean, that ought to just help you out. That ought to give you something, some reason to get excited. The Holy Ghost lives in me and he's interceding. And if the Holy Ghost is in you and interceding in you, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he's praying for it, how in the world can we be defeated? How can we be downcast? How can we be all of those things? In the same way that our hope gives us fortitude, the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. And at times, our weakness is so intense that we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray. Anybody ever been there? Man, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray for. You just received the worst news of your life, and you're just overwhelmed by it, and you just don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession on your behalf. Amen. He just begins to pray for you. And it's at those times that the Spirit voices our requests for us. He intercedes by appealing to the only one that can help us, God himself. Church, we may not know the right words to say, but I promise you the Holy Spirit does. You might not know what to say, but the Holy Spirit does. His groanings to God become effective intercession on our behalf. And when you just, I mean, you're praying and all you can get out is, oh. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had to pray like, oh. I mean, it's so weighty, it's so heavy, it's the burden's so great, and you just, The Holy Ghost knows exactly what you're saying. And he takes that right straight to the throne room. Amen. So don't think that you're being weird or anything like that. I don't even know how to pray, all I can do is groan. He knows what you're groaning about. It makes sense to him. And his groanings to God become intercession. Here the Spirit literally joins in to help you and I, expressing for you and I what we really can't fully express in and of ourselves. You ever been just praying and something comes over you and you got a burden on you and you just really can't express, you don't even know what to say. How do I put this in words? The Holy Spirit helps you. Going back to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, Paul says, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. Now look at this part of the verse. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Paul said that Epaphras was a fellow servant, and he was held ever so dearly to Paul's heart. Paul loved this guy. Paul appreciated this guy. He was just a fellow servant, but he was a minister to Paul, and he was so committed, and he was so dedicated to Christ that Paul called him my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the things that I've prayed for a long time, and God's answered this prayer, but I've prayed that Mike and Kathy would come, because we've been off and on in ministry together since 1990. That's a long time. And Mike, in so many ways, is really responsible for where I am today, being saved and in ministry and doing, because he was an encourager, and he mentored me, and he come alongside me when I was hard to come along. I was hard to come alongside of. I'll just be honest. But he did. And he put in the time and the effort, and through the years we've developed this kind of a relationship, this Paul and Epaphras kind of relationship. We're fellow prisoners. We're fellow servants for the Lord. And so much, if you want to get a hold of Mike and he don't answer your phone, call me. Because I'm pretty sure he's going to be with me, because we do all kinds of things for the Lord together, and we just work together. This guy was a believer who fervently. Do you know what the word fervent means? Anybody know what fervently means? Well, okay, what's incessant mean? Come on, man, I'm trying to get some clarity here. Fervence is persistent. It's something that we diligently labor at. We put some effort into it. They fervently held the line in the football game. They fervently, worked at this. I mean, they put some effort into it. And this says that he fervently labored. And it goes on. For how many of you know fervent's pretty good? Fervent's pretty good, but I go on to say that he toiled. He toiled. What's toil? I mean, toil's when you're just, I mean, you are working at it. You got the rope over your shoulder, and you're leaning into that thing, and I mean, you're just toil. Fervently labored and toiled in prayer. In prayer for the dear people of Colossae. He prayed in particular for one thing. This was his prayer, one of them. That the people of Colossae might be perfect and complete in all the will of God. In other words, that they might know the complete or the full will of God and do it perfectly. Would to God that we had some people in the church praying like this guy. Amen. I mean, getting a hold of the altar. I'm not giving up until God shows up. I mean, bawling and squalling, snot flying everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? Sucking the lint up off the carpet. That's praying. That's praying. I mean, that's toiling. That's some intense prayer. Prayer's not often cute. Prayer's not often dainty. Prayer can get messy. I mean, ladies, you shouldn't even wear mascara to church if you're a prayer. Because when you leave, you're going to look like one of the singers off of Kiss. You know, that big black streaks running on. Did I say that right here in church? Look like Alice Cooper leaving this place. Come on, man. Ray, cut it out. You know you're praying, ladies, when you cry all your makeup off at the altar. I really feel like this all boils down to this. When we ask casually, with little effort to focus our minds on the Lord, it shows that we don't value what we're praying for. When your child is hanging on to life by a thread, you don't just go, "Oh Lord, be with him." You don't do that, do you? I've had, at one point or another, all of my kids have been in that place, and my wife too. And when you're faced with that kind of a need, you don't just go, "Oh Lord, thanks for being with us," and go have a sandwich. You get a hold of the altar, and you find somebody that can pray and agree with you, and buddy, you begin to pray. You seek God. You don't turn loose until you get the answer. We have to value what we're praying for. We've got to, by faith, believe that God's hearing my prayer. God's going to come through. It might not be right when I want Him to, but God's going to come through. We got to have that tenacity. When we highly prize or value something, we will search for it with all of our hearts. When we value something, when we put a high price on it, you will go out and you will search for that thing. I've searched my garage. My garage has been a mess for a long time, and I had tools in there, and I knew they were there. But I couldn't find them. But me and Mike searched and searched and searched. And they were at the neighbor's. Where I left them. But God will lead you in those directions. I'm just telling you. I know that's a crazy illustration, but it works. I don't know about you, Church Kathy. Come on. I don't know about you, but I think that I personally need to step up my prayer life. I don't know of any one of us tonight that doesn't need to step it up. That maybe you don't necessarily need to step it up, but because you want to really touch heaven, we decide. Listen, I'm not a fan of going without food. I'm not a fan of going without. There's a bowl of candy that my wife has on the table in our kitchen, and it calls out to me. Loudly. There's a whole big old basket of potato chips and all that, cookies and that kind. Somebody brought a freight truck full of baked goods this morning, put them over there on that table. And I mean, we was having some close fellowship this morning, me and that stuff. So it's not an easy thing for me. I mean, you can look at me and see that I don't miss too many meals. But there's something about saying, I'm going to give this stuff to you, Lord. I'm going to refrain from coffee. I don't know if you know anything about me, but if you know anything about me, I like my coffee. I mean, half a gallon of it a day. I like it a lot. And honestly, I don't know how bad, I don't know if I even really miss it right now. Because, God, I just want to submit myself to you. God, I just want to do something. I want to give you something that will draw me closer to you. God, I want to do something that will change the direction of my life and to follow close. Yeah, I'm saved. I know that. But, God, I want to be where you are. I want to be smack dab right in the middle of where God is, of what God's doing. I want to be obedient to God. I want to see that building over there on the wall, which is completely wrong, by the way, but it's going to be kind of like that, except different. Right out here in this parking lot. I don't know exactly how we're going to pay for it, but I know this much. I know my God knows how it's going to be. I know that my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can take them dudes to sale anytime he wants to. And I believe God could change the course and the direction of people. And how many of you know that there's people that could just write out a check and pay our building off completely? Bam. They can just write it off. Well, I'm believing. And I would ask you to believe with me that God, through His miraculous power, would pay for, would fund, would whatever He chooses to do to see all this happen. I want to see every chair filled up in this place Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why? Because God's moving so much in this house that people can't stay away. They won't stay away. There's something. I'm afraid if I stay home, I'm going to miss something of God. I can't stay at home and take a chance on missing out. How's that going to happen, Pastor? It's going to happen when you and I link arms with a guy named Epaphras and we begin to pray and pray and pray and begin to fervently labor and begin to toil in prayer and believe that we might walk in the perfect and complete in the will of God and know the complete and full will of God and do it perfectly. Listen, church, I've said all I can say tonight. No, that's not true. I can say a lot more. I about got caught lying right there in church, but I've said enough. I've said enough. The ball's in your court. I'm 5 minutes overdue, past my time, because Kathy hogged all my time. But wasn't it good? Isn't it worth it to just worship the Lord? Wasn't it worth it to hear these testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives? Wasn't it worth it? Isn't it going to be worth it when your boy and your daughter come out of that place set free by the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Listen, church, we need to be interceding. We need to get a hold of these altars up here and cry out on behalf of her family. Why? Because we're family. We're family. Epaphras are you going to be? Whose Epaphras are you going to be? Who are you going to be interceding for? I just want to open the altars to you tonight. Kathy will play something softly. I just want you to just come and pray.